There's something about God's word. It doesn't matter if you hear it on a radio, through a screen. It has the power to change our lives. Let's pray together. Father, guide us today. Let the presence of God touch each person. Let them, Father, their minds just be at peace as you speak to them. I ask in your wonderful name, amen. I was on a plane flying into Melbourne, Australia, and was sitting beside this lady, and as we're just, you know, normal stuff, you were eating and trying to grab a nap, and the few words that we had to use, I noticed that she seemed so well put together, very dressed, very expensively, very well-mannered, but you could just sense this loneliness, lostness about her. So as we were coming in for a landing, asked her a couple of questions, and she just started to share about what she was doing in Melbourne and how that, kind of piecing it all together, their family was very influential in the country of Australia and very well-known. And so she had lots of purpose in her life. She was there, I forget what it was, to do. But as we began to talk, I made this comment to her, and it was done at the right time in the right place where, you know, she just looked a little bit sad, and I just brought that up. I said, you know, it's just something that you look a little bit sad today. And in our conversation, I began to share with her about the orphan's heart that so many of us feel, that without Christ, we feel lost. You could have a great natural purpose. You could be feeding orphans all over the world. You could be, you know, helping people and doing brain surgery and saving lives. But unless you have given your life to Jesus Christ and your spirit man is alive with the life of God, all the earthly purpose that you have doesn't meet that need. All the talent, all the money. It doesn't matter if you can, you know, just change the whole world in an area and feel good about it, you'll go to bed at night. And so I began to talk to her about this area of deep, deep inside, how the world, so many people, regardless of the extent of their success, feels lost. I share with her, you know, that's why people who are actors and singers can sing to 80,000 people on a stage and then have to go do a few lines of coke just to keep themselves emotionally up, because it goes down so quickly. And it reminded me of what I want to talk about today. There's a verse in the Bible in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And it says there, "For the Son of Man came to find, seek out lost people and save them." Lost people. If you ask anybody if they're lost, everyone's going to say, "No, I'm not lost. I know where I'm going. You know, I'm just on my way home. I'm on my way to the mall. I'm not lost. I've got a purpose for my life." But yet, the Bible definition of a lost person is a person who doesn't know God, who has not received Christ as Savior and Lord. And the Bible says that Jesus came to, in the King James it says, to seek and to save that which was lost. When church becomes only about you and getting ahead and looking after yourself, and we forget that if Jesus came to this planet seeking lost people, and his purpose was to save them, well, how do you do that? Well, the only way a person, according to Romans, can know the truth about the gospel, which is the good news, is that someone tells them the good news. But so many of us, we forget that when we give our lives to Christ, one of the greatest things you could ever do for anyone would be to share the good news with people. Don't tell them how lost they are. Don't tell them what a dirty, rotten sinner they are. Don't try to find something wrong with their life and point the guns. That's what religion does. But the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a person to repentance. And the word repentance means to change their lives. And I want to challenge you today. that if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, something has happened to you in your ability to share your experience. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth." Never forget, as a follower of Christ, that if we're following Jesus, where is he going? He is seeking the lost. He is seeking beautiful, wonderful people. They might be in crises in an addiction. They might be doing fantastic at the top of their game career-wise. They could be in a broken marriage. They could have a great marriage. They could be in the middle of a disaster physically, or be the picture of health because they work out and take all the right. It actually, being lost isn't about their physical ability. It's not about their relational ability. It's not about how successful they are on the planet. To Jesus, to be lost is to not know God. And it doesn't matter who you are, at some point you'll begin to feel this haunted feeling. You'll begin to feel this lost. I call it an orphan's heart. Jesus talks about that in the book of John. Or you literally feel lost. Everything is going good for me. I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel this way. And the only difference, like the only thing that can make a difference, is Jesus. Most of us don't share our faith because we feel like we can't answer all their questions. Dinosaurs, creation or evolution, why do bad things happen to good people, or whatever the questions are. But the gospel actually isn't answering all the complex questions for people. It's presenting the good news. That's what the gospel is. Now, the word gospel is not a word that we use in our English language. It just means good news. So whenever someone comes into contact with a person who has given their lives to Jesus Christ, and he comes within them, there is a joy and a peace, the Bible says. The joy is so unique that it doesn't just come from happenings. Like, happiness comes from happenings. But joy is a joy that is the strength of your life. There's a peace. This peace passes all understanding. In other words, you don't have everything peaceful in your business, your career, your relationship. There's always something going on. This is a peace that comes from deep within your spirit. And so when Jesus is talking about, "I'm here to seek out those who are lost and to save them," he first and initially means that they would make a decision and say, "Jesus, come into my life. I accept your free gift." That's that very first thing. After that, he brings a peace to your mind. The health will begin to flow in your body. Incredible things can happen when God has been given that first place in our life. We need to understand that now we should share our faith. We should share, not argue with people, not try to say, "Well, you know, I really don't care about other people. I want to give other people, you know, the freedom to be who they want, what they want, where they want. I don't like all the religious discussions." Good, because religion sucks. Religion is just man-made rules that we judge others with. But actually, Jesus is about receiving people the way they are. And then his power, his love, begins to come in and begins to change them. Once this Jesus comes into your life and you know a peace that passes understanding, you begin to know a purpose, a joy, a relationship with God that is past any other achievement in your life. You're friends with God. I'm a friend of God. You have an amazing ability to share it. And here's what I really want to get across to you today, that according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that the Spirit of God that is within you will give you an ability to witness to people. You will be a witness. Well, what is a witness? Well, if I was called to court and to be a witness to something, and the judge, or I'm called to the stand, and the judge says, "Leon, were you a witness to the accident?" And I said, "No, Your Honor, I was in a different city." "Well, then why are you here?" "I don't know." "So you're not a witness to this?" "No, get him out of my courtroom." When the Bible says He makes you and I witnesses, it means that when you share the hope of what God has done in your life, you are the expert. Why? No one else is an expert on you as much as you. You're not saying you're perfect. You're not saying you got it all together. You're not saying you've licked every bad habit. You're just saying that this Jesus that came in, He's touched your life, and now He gives you this ability. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Did you know that when you begin to, in a courageous, unashamed way, share this Jesus that you have found has changed your life internally, that the very words that you speak, Holy Spirit goes to work. Whether He's giving them dreams in the night seasons, they'll never forget the words that you speak, because it's not up to you to convince people. I used to be a good debater. Man, I could debate with anybody. I'd read enough books on all the different topics just to get in debate, and I'll prove to you that God is real. But you know what? That never really worked. Instead, I just shared what He's done to me, what He's done in my life. And when you share the good news that Jesus has died for everyone, that everyone's sins have been forgiven, it's just up to you to accept that. He's not going to force it on you. Okay, God's a gentleman. But there's a decision that every person has to make. And that this decision determines where you spend eternity. I do a lot of funerals. And it's interesting to me when you stand in front of people and there's a coffin at the front. And you see tears and you see hurt. And everyone's wondering, where did they go? Is death the cessation of life? One guy said, "We just die like a dog." I said, "No, what if you're wrong?" You see, according to Jesus, He is the only way to spend forever with God in the place that He's prepared. And that only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We all want to be ecumenical. It doesn't really matter what you believe. Everyone should believe something, and let's just let everybody have whatever religion they want. That'd be cool if none of it mattered. But what if it does matter? What if the Bible is true? What if the Bible is true? Then the only way to spend eternity together is Jesus. And that means that as we share this good news, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 talks about, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, because it is the power." You don't have to make your words have power. You don't have to convince anybody. I stopped trying to convince people a long time ago. I'll just share with them the truth about Jesus. Say, "God, He's your problem now." But what's interesting is that when you share this Jesus that I am a witness to as to what He's done in my life, that when I share this good news, that from that point on, very few people will say, "Well, yeah, I'd like to pray that prayer right now." Some do, and I'm gladly going to pray with them. But many, they begin to start this process as God brings people across their path. And when you begin to understand how much emptiness and loneliness there is in the world today, whether they're successful in career, relationships, health, or whatever they feel like they've got together, without Jesus, there is this sense of an orphan's heart, a lostness that only He can fill. In Luke chapter 15, there's an amazing portions of scripture. And today, I've got like 10 verses and 15 points, and I've only got time for one more. So we're going to put this up on our app. And anytime you hear me teach, I've got the same bad habit. I usually produce about 10 times more points than I can share in the time frame. So we've begun to just put them on the Springs app. And then after the service today, you can go there. And this week, begin to go through a lot of the other things I wanted to share, but didn't have time for it. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus is talking, and He says that we need to understand that in life, said, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them is lost, he takes off into the mountains, the hillsides, and he's gone. It says the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. And when he finds him, and he puts it over his shoulder and he brings it back, he calls his friends together and he says, let's party, let's rejoice, let's celebrate. This sheep of mine that was lost is now found. And they celebrate. Then Jesus tells another parable right next. And he says, it's like a woman who had 10 coins, 10 drachmas. One drachma is equal to an entire day's salary. And she loses one. And it says she cleans the entire house, moves every piece of furniture, sweeps it, dusts it, hoping to find this coin. And when she does, she calls her friends and neighbors and says, come join me, let's rejoice. The coin that I lost was found. And the language that Jesus is using there is never try. She tried to find the coin. It doesn't say that. It says she looked till she found. Then when it says the guy who had one sheep lost and he went off into the mountains to find him, it doesn't say he was going to try. It says he was going to look till he found. There is something about the Jesus that is in our lives that has transformed us so beautifully, so wonderfully, that we must share this faith. We must look for opportunity. I don't mean in a religious, dogmatic, condescending, judgmental way. I mean in a spirit contemporary way. Just living your life as an example of how he makes a difference. And sharing with people in a contemporary way, a cool way. But not just waiting. Well, I've been waiting for God to bring me somebody for 10 years and he might bring me one person. No. Jesus, it says, was out seeking. Everywhere I go, I'm seeking. I literally am doing this. I'm saying, God, is there someone that wants to be talked to today? Do you know how many people are looking for someone to help them? Do you know how many people are saying, would someone notice me and have an answer? We think everybody out there doesn't want to talk. Back to the Bible did a multi-million dollar study of people who didn't go to church and didn't profess Christ as their Savior. And they asked them, you know, would you attend church if someone invited you that you knew, that you respected? And it was over 90% of the people said they would. Have we developed this thing in our head that no one wants to talk? You know, we don't talk about religion. Are you kidding me? Everybody does. They'll talk about their sex life. They'll talk about their emotional life. They'll talk about their husband, their wife. I mean, you get people on a plane, it's kind of crazy how much they open up. People want to talk. They'll ever see what they put on Facebook? Ever see? I mean, people want to talk. And the enemy wants us all to think they don't. Oh, no. If you confidently have found something that changes your life, people want to know. Have you ever noticed somebody that finds a restaurant? Oh, this restaurant is so good. It changed my life. Oh, they'll have everybody going. Or you went and saw a movie. This movie was, oh, this is the movie of the year. You are telling all your friends, blogging it all. You're texting them all. Then you're on Facebook and you're on all the others telling you this is an amazing movie. But Jesus, who's changed our lives, who's prepared a place for us that no one can take from us, even upon death, that heaven's going to be our eternal home, that as families, when we know Christ and our kids and our grandkids, that generations, we will all be together again, spending eternity in this beautiful place called heaven. This is an incredible thing. And yet we tend to feel like, well, you know, I don't really want to talk to my friend. Listen, your friend paints his belly blue when the Blue Bombers win, picks up his shirt and does a dance on the seats. He's so excited about a pigskin going through two upright poles. You think then you can't talk to him about the importance and the meaning of life? Why do we allow the enemy of our souls to make us, you know, quiet and embarrassed? People aren't embarrassed about anything, from their sex life to what they drink to how much drugs they've done to etc. Yet we won't share this Jesus, who is the only hope for for eternity. There is no other way. There is no other religion. Jesus is the way. And I want to challenge you today that it says if a man has 100 sheep and there's one that is lost, he will leave the 99. I began to read this and I thought to myself, I wonder how many things in our lives we need to leave as so important and go after what's important. I wonder how many times it's our TV, it's our front room, it's our back deck, it's hanging out with our friends and by all the beautiful things. Don't stop doing that. But I'm just saying, have you placed all of these things first in your life? And that's all you do. You're just building your business. You're just hanging out with your boyfriend. You're just hanging out. And they're all wonderful. I love all of those things. But within me is something that Matthew 6 has taught me, that Jesus teaches us, and that is that you must seek first the kingdom of God. My wife has no problem, you know, in telling her that, you know, you're number two in my life. That doesn't work in the romance novels, but it works with a woman of God who knows, I want my husband to know Jesus and to serve him first, because he will hand that man back to me, a far greater husband than he could ever be on his own. I love Jesus more than I love my kids. It doesn't mean I'm going to abandon my kids. My kids, now that they have grown up in my home, have recognized that Dad wouldn't have been much of a father if it wasn't for what Jesus did in his heart, in his life, in his mind. Jesus prepared him and trained him and gave us a father and a life that he could never have done without Jesus. You see, when you begin to recognize that to prioritize our lives and to place God as number one, people struggle with that. They want their career to be number one. I've got news for you. When you die, they're going to have someone in your chair and in your office in less than a week. They're going to change the name over the door. They're going to have all your emails going to the new lady, the new guy. They're going to, you know, put your finger in a cup of water and pull it out. That's as much a hole you're going to leave in your career. So then what has purpose? What is something that you can live your life for, pass on to your generations for? It is a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you know why I've spent close to 40 years pastoring? Because I love church. I love the fact that people come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. That not only will they make a decision for Christ here, but that as we all go out in our jobs or work, whether we're out hunting or fishing or shopping, that it's amazing how people will be attracted to the Jesus that is in you. You know, when Sal and I go shopping, it gets to be annoying after a while how much people love her. You know, that she's shopped here and they've never forgotten her. You're just such an awesome person. You married up. They'll tell us, I know. Because they just sense this love on her wherever she goes. And that's for all of us, that anywhere we go, whether we're shopping, doing business, whether we're playing baseball, guys, or hockey, men, you know, that your ability to walk in love, even when someone puts that stick in the back of your ribs or, you know, this ability to reflect Christ, his peace, his joy, is what attracts people to the life of Jesus. And I want to challenge you today. There's an adventure that you have never experienced if you have never shared your faith with confidence, never recognized that it's not your job to convince people, debate with people, or talk them down, or be condescending. It is just your job to discover, to let them know who you discovered. You know, if you're talking to somebody about your favorite restaurant, you don't have to convince them. You just talk about it, they go and check it out themselves. You don't have to convince them it's the best movie of the year. You just told them you went and saw it. It's the best movie of the year, and they're going to go check it out. And more importantly, by a billion times, when you talk about someone who has changed your life, and his name is Jesus, everybody is spiritual. You ever notice that? Well, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. Of course. We are all spirit beings living in an earthly body, being given this mind, this onboard computer. And without God in our lives, there is no hope to know a joy that goes on forever, to know a peace that no storm on the planet can touch. this deep, incredible sense of ownership, significance, and purpose that makes your life beautiful. And then it's something that you can share with your kids. My dad was a teenager dying of rheumatic fever, didn't know Christ as his Savior, and his grandma pretty much half carried him onto a train to northern Alberta, where he heard about this Jesus, gave his life to Christ, and he was healed. Tests proved that although you could see the scars of what rheumatic fever had done to his heart, that his valves were healed, his heart went back to its normal size, and he lived for decades after that. He happened to meet my mom, and she was a young girl raised in a home with an alcoholic dad, and not just an alcoholic, but an abusive, angry man that they finally had to get rid of, and didn't know this Jesus and who she was. And she heard the gospel preached, and she gave her life to Jesus. They found each other. They got married, and they had me and my four brothers. And they taught us the very gospel that saved them so that we didn't have to go into a world of sin and heartache and brokenness. And we grew up knowing the truth of Jesus. So regardless of whether we are sharing our faith with those around us in work and business, and as well making sure that your children grow up not thinking that the world revolves around them, that, you know, the world owes them a living. No, in fact, you should never live your life for yourself. It's the quickest trip to depression you will ever find. But if you have a purpose for your life that is for God, and you have Him in your heart, and you live, whether you're called to medicine or high finance or education or politics, you go forth with this giftedness and this calling, but with a sense of significance and love that only God can bring. I want to challenge you today. Make sure that you say you're following Christ. Make sure and share your faith. Share this hope. The Bible says that when you share words about this Jesus and what he did on the cross for someone, from that point and on, the power of God goes to work on them. And it is God who is the convincer. You're just the talker. You're just sharing what you know. But it's not very much, Pastor. You don't need to know very much just to tell them about Jesus. And he'll do the rest. And you will live a life of such excitement. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, last verse, Jesus, who had just risen from the dead, told his disciples, go out and share this good news. He says, you can lay your hands upon the sick and they'll begin to recover. You don't have to worry about people trying to kill you and things going on. And it says, they went out and God worked with them and confirmed the words they spoke with signs and wonders. Confirmed what? The words they spoke. It doesn't say that he signs and wonders went out in front of them so they could speak. No, no, they would speak about this Jesus that changed their lives. And when people heard about it, these words, this beautiful gospel where there is power in it, would begin to work on their lives after you have left and never even seen them ever again. It's cool when I meet somebody in the church and says, you know, you don't remember this, but 10 years ago, you shared your Jesus with me, and years later, I gave my life to Christ, or you don't know, and this is my first time back, or. It doesn't matter. Once you share the Jesus, it's called the good news, the gospel. God goes to work. All of heaven begins to go to work. It's one of the most exciting things I've ever done with my life. And I've done a lot of pretty cool things, you know, heading out for fun. There's nothing that touches sharing Christ with somebody in a cool, contemporary way and then leaving it up to Jesus to do his work.